Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. Today we'll continue our discussion with Kunti Devi's character. So Kunti and Madri went to the forest with Pandu, and because Pandu had been cursed that he would die if he united with his wives or with any woman for that matter. So his wives were very cautious not to attract him anyway, not to agitate him anyway. But on one fateful day, when Pandu and Madri had gone out, at that time, Pandu became attracted to Madri. And although Madri tried to warn him, reminding him of the curse, and she tried to push him, she tried to resist him, that pushing and resisting, that only inflamed the desire of Pandu all the more. And as desire went deep into his heart, he forgot entirely about the curse. And as he came close to Madri to bring that to consummation, at that time suddenly a piercing pain stabbed through his chest. His face distorted in horror and he fell back, dead. Madri started screaming in horror and distress, utterly devastated. Hearing her cries, Kunti started coming there, and Madri called out, "Please don't bring the children here right now. Come alone." And Kunti told the children to stay away, and she ran down to the area in the forest where Pandu was lying motionless. Kunti immediately looked and understood what had happened. She called out to Madri and she said, "How has this happened? We tried our best to avoid this calamity from happening. How unfortunate we are. Both the queens, they fell at the feet of their departed husband and started crying bitterly." And Madri, finally after venting out her sorrow, Madri turned to Kunti and she said that, "I tried my best to warn him, to remind him of the curse, but it was to no avail." And as both of them, tear-stricken, were looking at each other, trying to console each other, Madri said, "You know, it was my Lord's desire to unite with me, and that was when he departed. So I beg one favor from you. Please allow me to ascend the funeral pyre with him, and you stay on and take care of your children as well as my children. After all, you are senior to me. You are much more wise and experienced, and you know best how to take care of children. If you depart, I will not be able to take care of all the children. So please allow me to do this last service to our Lord." Kunti, with tears in her own eyes, heartbroken, could only nod in silent assent. And then the funeral pyre was built. And as the body of Pandu was consumed by the flames, Madri, with folded hands, her mind fixed on her duty as a wife, her husband and the Lord, she entered into the fire and she departed, leaving Kunti to take care of all the five children. Throughout her life thereafter, Kunti kept her word to Madri and took care of all the children, and she's had always special affection for Nakul and Sahadev, knowing that they did not have their mother, or for that matter their father also. So she paid special attention to them and she took care of them, and in this way she honored the word that Madri had asked from her. Now the practice of Sati is very controversial, and it is, of course, in modern times or in pre-modern times when it was still existing, it had become very distorted, where women were often forced to ascend the funeral pyre. You know, that if we look at what has happened in the Mahabharata, you know, Madri requested Kunti, "Please allow me to ascend in the funeral pyre." So she considered a privilege, not a torture, not a punishment. She considered it a privilege. What would make someone consider this a privilege like this? So First of all, they understood that we are not the body, we're the soul. And if the relationship of the husband and wife is based on dharma, then it can continue on beyond this life also. And for a wife who is devoted to her husband, you know, the relationships in the family, in the Vedic culture, were such that the husband, the everybody is connected with the Lord. If we conceive of a train, the Lord is the first, in the train, that is the engine. And after that, connected to the Lord is the spiritual master. Connected to the spiritual master is the husband. Connected to the husband is the wife. Connected to the wife are the children. And in this way, all of them progress, following in the footsteps given by the Lord, through His teachings. And ultimately, everybody attains an auspicious destination. So for a wife to be devoted to her husband is the best way in the standard Vedic culture to be devoted to the Lord also. The husband is dharmic, the husband is virtuous, then the wife also attains the glorious destination that the husband attains. So for in a dharmically united couple, for the wife, actually she would be so devoted to her husband that she could not tolerate separation from the husband. And for her, the flames of the fire of the funeral pyre were far more tolerable than the flames of separation from her husband. And she would enter into the fire willingly, knowing that she would attain an auspicious next life destination by this act. So, it was an act of privilege, never an act of coercion or punishment. And Madhuri asked Kunti to give her that privilege. And Kunti assented to that. So, of course, unfortunately, later on, this, as everything, as Kali Yuga has progressed, everything has become materialistic. So even marriage became materialistic. And marriage often becomes a means by which business can be done. Marital arrangements are more of commercial arrangements quite often. And so often if a woman did not go sati, that's what happened sometimes, then her life would be terrible as a widow. And sometimes she would be forced to go sati. So there was no question of force in the practice of sati. In fact, the word sati actually means a chaste woman. And in fact, Lord Shiva's consort, Parvati, is also called a sati. Of course, the name sati can be used generically to refer to chaste women. But specifically, Parvati is also known as sati. So the idea is that chastity is the wealth of a woman. Chastity towards her husband is the wealth of a woman. And that chastity is referred to by the word sati generally. When a woman has that wealth of chastity, she is called a sati. And that chastity she exhibits throughout her life, and she exhibits even at the time of death by willingly embracing the death that her husband has got, a similar death. So sati was never forced. And we see that even previously, Ambika and Ambalika, when Vichitravirya passed away, nobody forced them to go sati. So any forcible incidents that have happened, they are grotesque distortions from the Vedic standard. And whether after the husband dies, whether a woman should go sati or not, that was entirely a matter of her decision. And often she would consider it a privilege to go sati. So Kunti, she was now left with 5 children and no husband. And the sages who had come there to oversee the funeral ceremony of Pandu, they decided to take Kunti and her children back to Hastinapur. And they came back. The sages used their mystic powers to come quickly back, and the citizens were amazed. At one sense, delighted to see these powerful looking children, although they were not very old till now, but still they were looked heroic. And they were going to be the future princes of the kingdom, and the citizens were very happy about that. At the same time, when they saw Kunti dressed as a widow, they started feeling great fear and distress. And when they came to know that Pandu had departed, They all felt terribly grief-struck because they all loved Pandu. He had been a virtuous and righteous king, loved by the citizens. And then Kunti started living in the royal palace, taking care of her children as best as she could. Although she had no husband and she had to act like the mother and father, both of the child, she had Bhishma, who was the grandfather, who took many of the parental responsibilities as much as he could. And he, as Kunti was living, although she was in the royal palace, living a life of a royal lady, still she had great anxieties because she could see the animosity between the Kauravas, that the Kauravas harbored for her sons. And she lived in constant anxiety. At one time, Duryodhana poisoned Bhima. And Bhima was gone for 7 days. And Kunti was beside herself in anxiety. What has happened to Bhima? So, we'll discuss the story of poisoning when we talk about Bhima. But here, Kunti was beside herself. And when Bhima came back and told what had happened, Kunti, she lived constantly in anxiety, praying to the Lord. Now, Kunti always was a Vaishnavi. She had been born and brought up in the Yadu family, who were normally Vaishnavas. And she was a Vaishnavi, and she would pray to Lord Vishnu, please protect my children. Please protect them. And in this way she lived. Eventually, when the Pandavas were sent to Varanavart, she also went with them to Varanavart. And when the house of Lakh caught fire, she also went in the forest with the Pandavas. Sometimes when she would get tired, Bhima would carry them. And as they were going to the forest, at that time, there was a terrible Rakshasa, Hidimba. And his sister was there, Hidimbi. She became attracted to Bhima. And she herself came to Bhima and proposed union with him. And Bhima was not ready, because he considered himself, it's his duty to protect his family. Bhima was most powerful and he was practically carrying everyone else whenever they were getting tired. So he was not very interested in it. Although Hidimbi had come in a very beautiful form, and Hidimbi, seeing that Bhima, she could not persuade Bhima. She saw that Bhima was under Yudhishthir, and Yudhishthir was doubtful about the whole proposal. So she approached Kunti and she said, Oh, venerable lady, you know the distress of a woman who is caught by desire. He said that it is the duty of a Kshatriya to satisfy the request of a woman. Please don't turn me away. If Bhima doesn't accept me, I will not be able to live. What I'm asking for is not against the codes of Dharma, because I'm asking for a righteous union which is blessed by Bhima's family members. So Kunti, when she heard the fervent plea and she heard the knowledge of Dharma of Hidimbi, she nodded in assent. Yudhishthira was also impressed by Hidimbi's speech, knowledge of Dharma. And then, with Kunti's blessing, she had the first marriage of one of her sons. Bhima was the first to get married, and he married to Hidimbi, and eventually Ghatotkach was born. That was her first grandson. And Ghatotkach would come several times with the assistance. He would carry all the Pandavas whenever there were, and carry Kunti also very reverentially when it was necessary. Ghatotkach grew up like the Devatas. Devatas don't go through childhood and grow up. They grow up rapidly. So like Ghatotkach also grew up rapidly. And then after Bhima stayed with Hidimbi for some time, the Pandavas continued onward in their journey in the forest. And they came to a village named Ekachakra. And as they were living in Ekachakra, they had decided to disguise themselves as Brahmanas, as traveling Brahmana family. And there was a Brahmana over there who offered them residence in his palace, in his house. And they started living there. And the Pandavas would go out for alms every day. And one of the Pandavas would stay at home to be with Kunti. Another four would go for getting alms. The Brahmanas, that was a tradition, the Brahmanas would ask for alms. And the Pandava Kshatriyas, here they were in an emergency situation. It was Apada Dharma. Apada Dharma means emergency religion, because the Pandavas had a threat to life on them. And they could not go back to the Kuru dynasty, Kuru kingdom, immediately, because those who had conspired to kill them were still very much at large and were having most of the power on their side. So they had to live incognito and they had chosen the garb of Brahmanas. So as they lived, once Vyasadeva came over there and Vyasadeva told them that you should stay in Ekachakra and do Brahmanical duties and by that acquire piety. In the future I'll come and tell you where you should go. And Vyasadeva keeps coming repeatedly in the Mahabharata and guiding people at guiding the Pandavas periodically. He guides, of course, Kauravas, Dhritarashtra also, but they don't listen to his guidance. Now one day as Kunti was in the house of the Brahmin, suddenly she heard crying over there. And when she heard crying, she went and she saw that there was a very somber atmosphere among the family members. The Brahmana was there, his wife was there, their daughter was there, was the older among their two children, and then there was a small boy. And then the husband was saying, "Alas, alas, how filled with misery is this life, that everybody tries for wealth, but wealth is difficult to achieve. Seeking wealth is misery, and those who gain wealth, they are even more miserable because they are greedy. People strive for dharma, artha, kama, but all these are always difficult to achieve. And dharma, artha, kama never lead to satisfaction. The ultimate goal is moksha, what moksha seems elusive. Alas, to live is but to suffer misery. Why did we ever take birth at all? What should I do now? How can I withstand the death of any of my family members? And how can I think about them living without me? Who will protect them? What should I do?" She spoke like this. As he spoke like this, with tears in his eyes, all the other family members were also on the verge of tears. The Brahmani said, "He said, my lord, you should please let me go. Now let me go and offer myself in sacrifice. After all, it is the duty of the wife to maintain the family. And if you go, you die, then I'll be unprotected. How will I maintain the children? Unscrupulous men will exploit me and we will be ruined. But if I go and offer myself in sacrifice, then you can afterwards marry another woman and you can take care of the children and you can live on. And I will be able to do this service to you and to our family in death. Please allow me to do this." And she started crying. The husband, the Brahmana, was moved to tears by the request of his wife and his helplessness at not knowing what to do. The daughter said, "Oh father, oh mother, why are you crying? Please let me go. Now it is the duty of the daughter to serve the family by begetting a son and continuing on the dynasty. But today I have the opportunity to serve my family even without begetting a son. I can protect the family by giving myself. Please let me go." She had tears in her eyes. And then the little child, he took up a small stick. It was little more than a grass practically. And he said, "None of you have to go. I will go. I have got this powerful weapon. And I will kill the demon. Don't you worry at all." Such a small child speaking so heroically. All everybody was grief-struck. But still, they couldn't but smile at the child's enthusiasm. And seeing the slight change in the mood, the lightness had come in the mood, Kunti took the opportunity to come inside. And she asked them, "What has happened? Please tell me." The Brahmana looked at his family and then with great effort trying to control his tears, he told the story. There was a demon over there in that area named Bakasura, Baka. And he was given to violence. He would attack people and kill them and destroy a large amount of property wantonly. So, and the king of the area was weak and he could do nothing to protect the citizens. So finally the citizens had decided that they had formed a decision among themselves and they had gone to Baka and told him that we will regularly send you food in a cart. Cart full of food, more than enough for you. Please don't kill anyone like this. You need food, we'll provide it to you. So Baka said, I'll accept this, but there's one condition. Whoever brings that food to me, I will eat that person also. So the villagers, they had no alternative but to accept his cruel condition. And in that way, in the fam from the village, regularly a family had to give one member. And the Brahmana said, now it is our turn. And we have to give one family member and we are not able to decide who should go. So Kunti smiled and she said, oh, you don't have to worry at all. I will send one of my sons. The Brahmana was horrified. He said, I cannot think of such a sinful deed even in my dreams. The guest is supposed to be like God, Atithi Deva Bhava. You know, we are meant to protect you even at the cost of our life. Serve you at the cost of our life. How can we possibly, for the sake of saving ourselves, let your son be killed? Kunti calmed him down. He says, I'm not talking about my son being killed. He says, don't you worry. My son, you know, one of my sons, the second son, he is very powerful. And he has been given some mantras by the sages. And with those mantras, he will be able to kill the demon. So the Brahmana's eyes lit up with hope, but still there was also doubt in his eyes. Thought, no, but I cannot do this. What if your son gets killed? I will never be able to forgive myself for leading a guest to death. What to speak of a Brahmana guest to death? He says, don't worry. He says, I have 5 sons and I am confident of the prowess of my son. He has killed many, many powerful beings before. He is expert and he has the power of mantras. But please don't, he will go, but please don't tell anyone after he kills the demon that it was he who did it. Please. Because she did not want their identity to be revealed. So she said that actually whatever his prowess is, that will become weak at this stage if it becomes known to everyone that he has got that power. So that is my request. And don't worry about it all. No need to cry. I'll take care of this. And Kunti came back and told Bhima what had happened. And Bhima's eyes lit up with excitement. He just always wanted some action, some action, some action. And he was thinking that the life of a Brahmana was too unexciting for his taste. And now the prospect of fighting with a demon excited him beyond words. And when he heard that he had to carry a cart full of food, he knew what he was going to do. The food was not going to reach Baka. The food was going into the belly of Bhima. As a Brahmana expected to eat modestly. So he would never have enough food. And the Brahmanas would get charity. So Bhima became excited. And then the turn was next day. And they waited for the remaining brothers to come. And as soon as Yudhishthira came, Yudhishthira saw the excitement in Bhima's eyes. His face was lit up and he immediately understood. He went to Kunti and he said, why is Bhima Sen so excited? I'm sure he's planning something wonderful. Is it his own doing or is it something which you have told him to do? So Kunti told him the entire story. And Yudhishthira became alarmed. He said, alas. He says, what have you done, O mother? No, Bhima is my main hope. He's so formidable in power. Eventually, if we are to protect the legacy of our father, then we need his prowess. What will happen if he has to fight with a demon and he is overcome? Kunti looked at Yudhishthira. And she knew the affection that Yudhishthira had for all his brothers. And said, I have thought carefully. Have you forgotten Bhima's prowess? Has he not already killed Hidimba? Did you not see how formidable he is? You know, I have considered this matter very deeply. And I know for sure that Bhima will be able to overcome any demon. And moreover, I have also been thinking that this Brahmana has extended his hospitality to us for a long time. And we should be doing something for him in return. This will be an excellent opportunity for us to render service to the Brahmana for all that he has done to us. And moreover, Now, whether we have the privilege or not, we are still members of the royal family. And it is our duty to protect the citizens. Now, these citizens, they have no Kshatriya protector. So we have to do this duty. So only after deep thought did I give this suggestion. So Yudhishthira contemplated Kunti's words and he saw the wisdom in them. So this was Kunti's sense of responsibility and maturity. She taught such deep values to her children that if we take something, we should always give something in return. Although Brahmanas often take charity, but they are not meant to be parasites in society. Brahmanas are meant to give something in return. What can they give? They give knowledge. They study scripture diligently and they share scriptural knowledge with society so that society can stay on the track of spiritual advancement and harmony with God's will. So now the Pandavas, they also had scriptural knowledge, but they were just dressed like Brahmanas. They were actually Kshatriyas and they wanted to do Kshatriya duties. So Kunti was always aware of her responsibilities as a royal lady. And it was she who engaged Bhima in this way. And Bhima, fulfilling the expectations of his mother, honored her word by killing Baka and freeing the Ekachakra from the scourge, from the terror of Bakasura, of the demon. And as all the people were amazed to see the dead body, we'll discuss the story more when we talk about Bhima. But here we're focusing on Kunti. The point was Kunti it was who engaged Bhima in doing this heroic act. And the Pandavas left from there because when the too much attention came to them, it might come to the knowledge that they are actually not Brahmanas, they're Kshatriya. So they departed from there. And as they departed, eventually they were going along and they heard that some Brahmanas told them that Draupadi Swayamvar is there in Drupada's kingdom. And you can go there, you'll get a lot of charity, a lot of food over there. And there'll be great festivities over there. And the Pandavas went there. And then Draupadi was in Swayamvar. None of the Kshatriyas could win. We'll discuss this story in detail later. But Arjuna won Draupadi, and after they came, they were still in the guise of Brahmanas. Arjuna came back, and every evening they would come and they would give the alms to Kunti. And on this day also, Arjuna came and he said, "Oh mother, see what I have brought today for you." And Kunti, she was engaged in her regular prayerful activities, and without turning to Arjuna, she said what she would say every day, and what she had taught her children all the time. Says, whatever you have got, share it equally among all of you. And Pandavas were struck dumb by these words. And then Kunti noticed the chilling silence that had descended on her sons and hearing her words. And she turned around and then she saw Draupadi. Draupadi was dressed for Swayamvar. And she saw the garland around the neck of Arjuna, and she understood, and she said, "Oh God, what has happened?" She said, "What has happened? How can all of you share a wife together? But at the same time, I have never spoken of untruth. Whatever words I have spoken, they have come true. What should be done?" And as they were thinking in this way, Yudhishthira also became very grave, and how by Vyasadeva's intervention and through the past life story of Draupadi the controversy was resolved will be discussed. But here the Pandavas immediately felt that if Kunti has given her word that others should be that whatever we have got should be shared, then that means Draupadi should be shared, and that's how Draupadi became the shared wife of all the five Pandavas. So it was Kunti's word which was so filled with the weight of her piety, her spirituality, her devotion, her truthfulness, her dedication to God, that it came true. Even if it meant going against the well-established social convention of one woman not having more than one wife. So then, eventually when Kunti, when the marriage was done, finalized, and when it came to public knowledge that actually Draupadi was won by none other than the Pandavas, then the Pandavas were returned back to the were invited back, and they were given Khandava Prastha, and that Khandava Prastha was converted to Indra Prastha. And then when Yudhishthira Maharaj did the Rajasuya sacrifice, Kunti Maharani was there in the royal palace watching that glorious sacrifice. And this is a dream of every mother, that her children grow up to be glorious, wonderful, powerful, great being children, great people. And she saw her dream being fulfilled. Yudhishthir was dharmic, was supremely virtuous, and now he was the supreme monarch of the world. And what she had dreamt of through the times when she was alone taking care of the children, all the difficulties that they had, tremendous dangers and difficulty that they had experienced in their stay in the forest, now all that had come to its fruition when she saw Krishna being declared as the Agrapuja, as the recipient of the Agrapuja. So Yudhishthir was crowned as the emperor of the whole world, and Kunti's beloved Lord Krishna was celebrated as the greatest being in the whole of creation. And this is how a devotee has a material duty and a spiritual duty. The spiritual duty is to glorify the Lord, to serve the Lord. The material duty is to do everything that we have to do in our material responsibilities in a way that contributes to the good of the world and that contributes to the progress of Dharma. So she had raised her children gloriously, and they became great human beings, great warriors, great kings, and they had done a glorious dharmic sacrifice. That was her success as a son, as a mother. And even more, not only were they just great Kshatriyas, but they helped her. She was a great devotee of the Lord, and she wanted the Lord glorified. And they had arranged through the Rajasuya sacrifice for the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And her heart's desires were fulfilled to see this great triumph for her son and her Lord. And yet life was about to take a drastic turn. And from this pinnacle of success, suddenly a great disaster was going to come in the life of Kunti and the Pandavas. That we will discuss in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.